Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
So why don't you turn with me to 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. And then we're going to jump over to Hebrews 11, so you can just place mark those two. And it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 11. This is the faith chapter, faith in action. And it says, starting from verse 1, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I'm going to jump to verse 6, and it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I just want to take a moment to talk to you from this thought, the confidence we have, the confidence we have. Come on, let's pray together. God, we thank you. We thank you that we have confidence in you. We thank you that we can come to you in confidence, in full confidence, Lord God, that you will speak to us in the here and now, Lord. Pray that you would speak through me, that you would let your word go forth. In your name we pray. Amen. And come on, because I like a lot of noise. Why don't we give God one more shout of praise? So, in my studying, I've realized that the promises of God are conditional, but then there are also some promises of God that are unconditional. And you say, how do I say this? As we look through the word of God, we see a lot of promises that start with if. This first one that we just now read here in 1 John, John is saying to his audience that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we read in Luke 17, it says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, it will obey you. Another if statement, Matthew 21 and 22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And Romans 10 and 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, you will be saved. A lot of if statements, it's just a few of them, but I've realized that the promises of God are conditional, but the nature of God is unconditional. And so I've come to this conclusion that the promises of God are conditionally unconditional. Say, how do I know this? I just want to break it down a little bit. Anybody good at math? Anybody? No one in the room. Wow, amazing. What do we do in school? Just nothing. But me, I'm with you. I'm not good at math, but we learned something called conditional statements. Does anybody know what conditional statements? Anybody besides Luke Berry? And conditional statements is all about the if and the then, the thesis and the conclusion. And there's this tension between if and then. And we find ourselves in this tension. And how do I know this? It's because we say things like, man, I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting for this door to open. I'm just waiting for this opportunity. And while there's nothing wrong with waiting, the Bible says they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. But can I submit to you, you might be waiting on God, but what if God is waiting on you? What if God is waiting on you? If and then. And James says here, he says, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. See, you know, even if you haven't asked, this is the beauty of God's promises being conditionally unconditional, the promise still stands. So even if you didn't do your part, the promise is still there for the taking. God is still waiting for you to do your part. He's not saying, hey, just because you messed up, you're going to miss out. See, you still have an opportunity to the promise. This is what I love about God. And God's love for us, we're talking about this love, this radical love of Jesus. And because of his radical love, even when we don't get it right, the promise still stands. Or even when we've messed up, the promise still stands. God is still faithful, even if God still can't. See, it's in his nature. He is a promise maker. And not like we make promises with one another, but God is the one who created the whole idea of a promise. Why would he not keep his to us? He is a promise maker. It is his nature. He cannot deny who he is. And so I've come to a conclusion that there are three different types of people in this world. Don't debate me. You've got your Google Maps people. You've got your iPhone Maps people. And you've got your Waze people. And see, some people are just like committed to their GPS app. I am a Google Maps girl. I am faithful to Google Maps. If you get in my car and you want direction somewhere and you try to put on a different map, I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to see it. Close the app. Take it to Google Maps, and then I can talk to you. But I remember the very first time I ever used a GPS. I'm pretty sure a lot of people don't remember, but I remember the very first time, and it was our first family wedding. First wedding of our generation, and, you know, my cousin was getting married. We're so excited. And just a little background information on me. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And so I don't drive much, or I didn't. I now do, but I don't drive much. I could get anywhere through the five boroughs, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, Staten, and the Bronx, fairly easily through the subway or through the bus. And so I didn't drive. The very first time I ever drove on a highway was here in Miami a few years ago, and I was terrified. You guys scare me. And so it's my first time using a GPS. See, I'm from Brooklyn. I can get to New York City, but I am the youngest of three, and I have two older brothers, and I didn't want to get ready at home. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go out on Long Island. My other cousins live there. All the girls are there. I'm going to get ready with the girls and get to New York City. And so there's like, all right, Manishka, here's this GPS. It's brand new. You know, this was before the iPhone maps. This is like, you either had MapQuest or you had a GPS. Those were your two options. So there's like, here's a GPS. Type in the address. And I was like, I got this. Type in the address, and we're on our way. We're getting ready to go to New York City, and we're driving. And my cousin, who's from Long Island, is like, hey, I think we missed the exit. It's like, no, don't worry. I got this. I'm controlling the GPS. And she's like, all right. So we keep driving. She's like, I think this might be the last opportunity for us to get off to make it to the city. I was like, the GPS didn't say so. Keep driving. And so 30 minutes in, we are in the middle of nowhere. I can't even tell you where we were. The wedding was getting ready to start. And it's like, hand me the GPS. And I give over the GPS. And she's like, you didn't put the right address in. And needless to say, I sat in that car silently for the entire, they all hated me. I sat in the car silently as we finally made our way to New York City. We're so late. The wedding was over. Like, people are walking out. I just started walking out with them. I'm just like, man, wasn't that great? My cousin still has no idea I didn't make it to her wedding. She thought I was there. I just went straight to the reception. But I just thought, man, how many times do we put our confidence in things that fail us? Or how many times do we put our confidence in ourselves and fail ourselves? Man, but here is the encouragement that even when we go our own way, even when we do our own thing, God is faithful to redirect us. He's faithful to bring us back exactly where we belong. See, because of God's love, he's not going to leave us where we're at. He is the God that said, I will make rivers in the desert, that he will have dry bones live again. We serve a God that is faithful, even if God still can. Come on, that's something to be excited about. God still can. This is our confidence. See, the way to God is already paved. The way to God is already paved. God has made a way for us to go into his presence. He has given us access to his presence that we can approach him with confidence. See, I grew up in church, and I remember growing up, I heard a phrase, and I'm pretty sure it had good intent, but someone said, man, everyone's a praiser, but not everyone's a worshiper. I don't know if that's theologically correct. Don't write that in your notes. That's just what I heard. And so I took that to heart. So I'm younger, and so what I thought praise was a fast song, and I thought worship was a slow song. And I was just like, I couldn't yet connect to the slow song. So in my mind, I was like, you know what? I'm a praiser. I'm just not a worshiper. I was just like, I'm not a worshiper. So I remember being in service, and the fast songs would be going. I'd be dancing, having a good time, and the slow songs would come on. I'm like, this is where I disconnect. And I remember one day I'm sitting down and a friend of mine, she tapped me. She's like, hey, Manushka, why aren't you worshiping? And in my mind, I'm like, man, it's so awkward. I'm going to have to tell her that I'm not a worshiper. I'm only a praiser. And for a really long time, I thought that worship was just music, or that I thought that worship was just a slow song. But what I realized is worship is how we approach the presence of God. Everyone has access to that. You're not written off from the presence of God. We all have access to his presence. And in the book of Samuel, there's a woman by the name of Hannah, and the Bible says that she is weeping bitterly before the Lord. She has a need, and she comes to the temple, and she's weeping so bitterly that the priest comes in and is like, man, are you drunk? Like, what are you doing drunk in the temple? And she wasn't drunk. She was just desperate. See, she understood that if I could only get God to hear me, I could get him to answer me. And sometimes we're so focused on what we look like when we approach God rather than what we would receive when we approach God. See, we should be like the woman with the issue of blood. She understood that if she could only make her way into the presence of God, if I could only approach my Savior, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could be saved. And man, if she was here today and we asked her, man, how far would you go to approach God? She'd say, as far as it takes. And that's the kind of mentality that we have to have, that I will push past my disappointment. I will push past my shame. I'm going to push past my past. I'm going to push past every doctor report. I don't care what it is. I'm going to push past so that I could get into the presence of God. See, the writer of Hebrews says that it is impossible to please God without faith, because when we come to him, when we approach him, we have to believe that he can do what he says. And so when we come here on Sunday mornings and we're reading, you know, prayer requests, or we go outside and we write a prayer request, or we talk about it at Cruise, we've got to actually believe that God can do it. And the reason why is because if we don't believe that he can do it, when he does it, we won't believe that it's him. If we don't believe he can do it when he does it, we won't believe it's him. We think it's something else, but it's because of God that we can get into his presence and approach him and ask what we have need of. And in the Old Testament, there was not this easy access that we have into the presence. See, the only person that could go into the presence of God was the priest. And so there was this place called the Holies of Holies, and the only person that could enter in was a priest. And once a year, he'd go in and he would sacrifice for the sins of the people, and the people were separated from the presence of God. And the Bible says that when Jesus came, that he died. And what happened was that this veil that was in the temple, it was high and it was wide. And the veil is what separated from the presence of God. This veil was torn in two. And so no longer did a priest have to go in. And no longer does a priest have to go in for us. No longer do we have to get someone else to go into God's presence. We have access to God's presence himself. We can access the presence of God. This is a beautiful thing, that we know that God is big and God is great, but he is concerned with every single need. He is mindful of us. And we think about that conditional statement, if you ask according to his will. And see, we can't miss that part, because we can just say, well, man, I asked God and he didn't do anything. No, you have to ask according to his will. And what we have to understand is that the will of God is already written. We have confidence because far before we were born, God put his will in writing. And see, the will of God is already written, but it's not this just like document that we can just read that just has every step that we need to take in life. The will of God is found in the word of God. And the Bible says that the word was made flesh. And so the word of God is a man, and his name is Jesus. And the word of God is a person. And so in order to know the will of God, we've got to know God. I think we go through life trying to figure out, man, how do I know God's will? How do I know what I should do with my life? And the only way we can do that is by knowing who God is. And see, that's what the first step of the growth track is all about, knowing God. And we talk about this because it's not just like knowing of God. Because like, I know of Beyonce. I can tell you the name of her 3 kids. I can tell you her birthday. I can tell you the albums that she came out with. But I don't know her. See, that word know is gnoskos. It's gnoskos in the Greek, and it means to know intimately and to know personally. And so what God desires of us is for us to know him intimately and personally. This is the only way to know the will of God. It takes walking closely with him every single day. God wants us to know him. And it's our responsibility to get to know God. Sometimes we think it's just only like Sundays I come in and I get my, you know, my portion. But this is a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing where I am saying, hey, I am continually seeking the presence of God. The presence of God doesn't just show up just because you came in this room. The presence of God is wherever you are. You can have the presence of God in your car. You could have him at home. You could have him at work. Just know you have access to the presence of God wherever you are. And just like a will is just a piece of paper until someone dies. It says this in Hebrews 9, verse 16 and 17. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it. Because a will is enforced only when someone has died. It never takes effect while the one who has made it is living. And I was just thinking about this and realized until someone dies, what is promised can't be released. Until something dies, what is promised can't be released. And sometimes we wonder, man, I feel stuck. My prayers aren't being answered, but our flesh has to die in order for the promises of God to be released. I just want to take it a step further. We talked about the word being made flesh. And what happened is when Jesus came and he put skin and bones on, in order for the promises that he had for you and I to be released, he had to die. See, God is not asking us to do anything he's not willing to do himself. See, Christ had to die, and so does our flesh. Our flesh has to die because we can't have our way in God's way. We can't have two competing wills. We can't be like, hey, God, can you match up what I want to what you want? And it's not like God doesn't want what we want. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So you serve a God who cares about the desires of your heart, but they must align to the will of God. Sometimes we pray for things that we think that we want because we think that we know better. We're just like, well, God, I really want this and I really want that. But I know when I look over onto my own life, I'm so glad that God didn't answer some of those prayers that I pray, that God didn't give me some of the things that I asked for, that he didn't open some of the doors that I thought were the right ones for me. We ought to be glad that God doesn't answer some of our prayers. We've got to ask, what kind of prayers should we pray? And the types of prayers that we should be praying are the kind of prayers that we're asking God to do a work through us and not just a work for us. Because we can have these selfish prayers, and it's human nature. We're just like, well, God, I want this. And God, I want that. And that's great and all, but God's just like, no, no, no. Can you align what you want to what I want? Because what God wants is always better. God's not asking you to pray his will just because it's right. It is. He's asking you to pray his will because it's better. It's better for you. He knows the plans. He has created you. He knows exactly what you need, and he knows when you need it. And that's the confidence that we have, that we can trust that as we pray according to God's will, that God will work things out. And Jesus prayed the same prayer. He prayed for God's will to be done. In the book of Matthew, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, he says this, verse 38, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He says, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And I think we can all say that we are so glad that Jesus didn't do what he wanted to do, but he did what he needed to do. He didn't say, man, it's really, I don't feel like dying. I don't think anybody wants to. No one feels like it. But he's like, I know that what God has planned is better. That if I just did what I wanted, God would never be able to do what he needed to do through me. We need to understand that the promises of God, though conditionally unconditional, they are proven to us. We see that they are proven time and time again, that it is proven in his word. And right here, Jesus had the opportunity to say, hey, man, I just want to walk away from this. But he kept to his promise, and his will was done. So the will of God and the word of God is already proven. The word of God is already proven. There is evidence in the Word of God. See, God didn't just say he loved the world. He showed he loved the world. It was so evident in everything that he did that he lived his life 33 years, stepped onto earth so that he could prove that he loved us. This radical love that we're talking about in the book of 1 John was proven to us. I love that because sometimes you can just say things and not mean it, but every word that God says is proven. And we have confidence because God has proven himself to be true. The book of Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so how can you test God's will? You got to ask yourself these three questions. Is it good? Is it pleasing? And is it perfect? And we could mix that up and we could think, oh, is my life good? Is my life pleasing? Is my life perfect? See, but God did not promise us a perfect life. He promised us a purposed life. And we cannot test the will of God unless our minds are transformed. See, we can look at it from a world standard. If we look at the will of God from a world standard, we'll think, man, well, this could not be the will of God. There's nothing going right for me. This could not be the will. But in order for us to test the will of God, it only happens when our mind is transformed. See, when our perspective shifts, when our thinking is changed, we need transformation in order to know the will of God. See, the will of God is a little complex. It's not as easy as we think. And in order to know it, we've got to know God. And as God transforms our mind, as he gives us a new view, a new world view, what happens is we can recognize something that may not seem good to the world, but we can look at it, man, like this is the will of God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I may not understand it, but this is the will of God. And I love how it is in the Message version. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants for you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. See, we've got to readily recognize what God wants from us and quickly respond to it because we serve a God that wants us to be mature and not lacking anything. That when God is doing his will, it's because he wants what is absolutely best for you. And it, following God is a step-by-step journey. It takes following God one foot in front of the other. And following God into the unknown may seem scary, but following ourselves is even scarier. When we begin to put our confidence in what we can see, that's when things get complicated. When we start putting our confidence in ourselves, that's when things get complicated because we're not seeing it from the lens that God wants us to see it. And there's this old song. And I love it because it's always a reminder to me because I don't know about you, but there's some moments in my life where I'm warring against what the will of God is for my life, where I'm just like, God, I really don't feel like doing this right now, or I don't understand why you've called me to do this. This seems way too hard, and this doesn't make any sense. And there's this song, it says, further along we'll know all about it. Further along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, 'cause we'll understand it all by and by. And all that song is saying is, I may not understand it all in the here and now, but God didn't call me to understand his will. He called me to stand in his will. That is my response to his love. I've made a decision to stand in God's will no matter what it looks like, no matter what my life looks like right now. I am committed to standing in his will. This is the confidence that I have. There's a book in the Bible, Hosea, and it's about a prophet. And because we're in Miami, we're going to call him Jose. And Jose had a very daunting task. God had called him to do something that was rather unusual and unheard of. And God called Jose to marry this woman named Gomer. But here's the thing. Gomer was a prostitute. God said, hey, I need you to marry Gomer. And because Jose understood that the love language of God was obedience, he obeyed and he married Gomer. And God's like, I don't just need you to marry her. I need you to love her. Like, love her unconditionally, agape love. And so Jose takes this woman home and marries her and loves her. But time after time, she runs out and she goes back to the same streets and to the same corners which he bought her from. Realizes it's way harder than he thought to make her into a housewife. She constantly running away, but he remembered what God told him. God said, I need you to love Gomer like I love Israel. And Jose writes this in Hosea 2 and 13. It says, she decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot. She decked herself in rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot. She got ready. She got prepared to just go her own way. She dressed up real nice. She put on her perfume and walked out the door. But me, she forgot. Me, the one who loved her unconditionally, the one who picked her up from the pit she was in, who bought her, who paid for her for a price. But me, she forgot. And even in the midst of that, Jose never stopped loving her. He was called to love her. And the reason why this book is in the Bible is to show the radical love of God. His love for people who made a decision to turn their back. But he said, look, I have committed myself to loving you. That even when you turn your back, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to care for you because it's in my nature. It's who I am. I can't stop loving you even if I try. And I love that it's the same God. The same God in the book of Hosea is the same God today. The same God that pursues us and that loves us. It's like, hey, even when you step out of my will, I have every plan to come rescue you. That even when you go your own way, that I have made a decision to love you. Our radical love, the radical love of God and our reasonable response. What is our response when we think about a love so great? When we think about a love that is pursuing us day after day, even when we don't pray the right prayers, even when we don't ask for the right things, he says, look, I love you. You can try again. You can try again. And you can try again because I'm not giving up on you. And our response to a Savior like this is, God, I want to do your will. See, when there's a love like this pursuing us, we don't want to take advantage of it. We don't look at this love and like, man, he's going to love me tomorrow, so I'm just going to do my own thing. Because God loves us so deeply, we're just saying, well, God, how can I match my desires to your will? God, how can I match up what I want to what you want for my life? What can I do to please you? What can I do to be good? What can I do to be perfect? What can I do? And when we get into God's presence, the prayers that we begin to pray change. See, when we get to know who God is, when we get to know who our Savior is, our prayers change. Our wants change. Our desires change. It can only happen through transformation. It can only happen when we make a decision to spend time with God. When we approach the presence of God. See, God wants us to approach him. God doesn't want us to be far away. He's just like, approach me. He loves you so much. He's like, whatever you ask me according to my will, I will give it to you. We serve a God that wants to give us anything that we ask for. That his love is so great. It's like, whatever you ask me for, I want to give it to you. And we have things that we're wanting and we have things that we're just waiting for God to do. But God's like, can you just come in my presence and ask me? And the reason why God asked for us to come into his presence because he wants you close. He wants you near. God's like, just approach me. I want you to come to me. I want you to ask me. It's easy to say, well, God knows everything already. He knows what I need. He knows my heart. But no, God says, approach my presence. Approach me. Come into my presence. Really believe that if we approach God and pray his will, we just have to watch him work. See, that's the formula. Approach God, pray his will, and watch him work. I'm believing that some people are going to walk out of here and they're going to start praying things according to the will of God, and things are going to start happening faster than you could ever imagine. When your prayers begin to change, when your mind begins to change, say, God, I'm connecting to what you want, because I know that, God, you will do greater than I could ask or think. You have a God that's saying, hey, you ask me and I'm going to do better. Who else is like that? Who else will think that I want to do better than what you could ever ask me? I want to do greater than anything that you could ever think. See, this radical love of Jesus is what changes everything in our lives. And we don't have to be discounted from anything. You are never discounted from the presence of God. God desires your approach. God desires for you to be in his presence. And see, we can have confidence. A lot of us walk around with the opposite of confidence. We walk around with insecurity. We walk around with shame. We walk around feeling like, man, there's no way God wants to hear what I have to say. There's no way God can do what I've asked him to do. But God asked us to approach his throne confidently, believing that he can do what he says. In the book of Hebrews, it says it in, it's chapter 10. It's a beautiful depiction of our confidence in God. And I didn't give them this verse, so that's why I don't have it. It says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised for you. See, we've got to persevere. We've got to continue to ask God. We sometimes feel like, hey, I've asked and he hasn't answered. But if it's the will of God, we can continually go into his presence and continue to ask because he cares about that need. You have a need that you feel like, man, I've been asking God and he hasn't answered me. But continue to persevere. Do not let go of your confidence. Continue to hold on to the confidence that you have in God. There's a security in the confidence of God that you can walk around knowing that, hey, I serve a God who loves me so deeply. I serve a God who cares about me so much. Your whole walk will change. Your mindset will change. Your talk will change. The way that you approach life will change. The way that you approach situations will change, because I have a confidence that is greater than anything that I could ever imagine, that I stand in the presence of God, that I approach my Savior knowing that he hears me. I have this confidence. And come on, we're just going to pray in this room. And we're believing that God's getting ready to give some people confidence back. That people who've been feeling like, man, I do not believe. But today we're believing that God's confidence is getting ready to sweep this room. And that we're going to watch miracles happen. We're going to watch things that we never thought could actually happen take place, because we've been faithful to persevere in the confidence that we have in God. Lord, we thank you for your confidence. Lord, we thank you that we can approach your throne. We thank you that you care about every need. Father, we pray that you would completely change the way that we pray, that you would change the way that we think, God, that you would transform our mind, Lord, that we know that when we come to you, Jesus, that you hear us. And God, if you hear us, you will answer us, and we will have all that we have need of, Lord. God, we thank you for what you're getting ready to do, Lord God. We thank you because we're believing you to do it, Lord God. In your name we pray. Amen. Come on, why don't we just stand to our feet, and we're just going to respond to the radical love of a Savior.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com. or on any social media platform at VU Church.